Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to Star Wars Splash Page Comics in Review.
We're not sold out, Jeff. We're still here. It's episode number 216. But you know what is selling? You know what is selling out, Jeff? The High Republic number one.
Geek me all knowing box sets stay open May 4th. I'm hoping Luke gonna be hot as before. Cause Ren looks hardcore and I don't want Sith running the galaxy.
Can you believe it?
I do believe it. I heard that it's sold it a bunch.
It's sold it a lot.
Keeps solding more.
It does, very much so. Very much so. People, I guess, really underestimated the appeal of a brand new corner of the Star Wars universe. So,
well, and especially since it's such a good book, you know, the demand, I think, is probably just going to keep going up for it once people have a chance to take a look at it and see.
I agree. I totally agree. And it's a great book. I really like it a lot. It's so popular, in fact, that it is now going to a third printing.
Wow.
Which is pretty impressive. I mean, and that was announced the day that, you know, the first issue came out. And before the first issue even came out, it was going to a second printing. So, you know, we already know it's, wow, that's pretty impressive.
It's
so,
huge.
It is. And it looks like we can look for that, believe, February 10th. So if you are keen on getting it, and a lot of people are, make sure you call your local comic book shop no later than January 18th and tell them that you want a copy. That's what they call final order cutoff.
Oh, okay.
So comes in handy.
Yes, very it does. Handy.
Yeah, so that's pretty awesome, I think. So
it is extremely awesome. It's encouraging because this is, you know, we always talk about, in the theater world, it's always a problem, especially on Broadway, of new work has trouble, you know, getting noticed. You see a lot of revivals, or you see a lot of shows based on pre-existing material, based on movies and things. And while this is obviously based on pre-existing material, it's new for Star Wars. And the fact that it's being so well received right off the bat is just very encouraging because it means that it's okay for Marvel and Lucasfilm, Star Wars, and everyone to take risks and to try new things.
Exactly.
And people are still willing to give it a shot.
So, and that's, yeah. And that's very much, I think, you know, as you say, it's a very important thing, you know, not to take away from the existing Star Wars titles, because I love them very much. Obviously I'm a little biased to them because they're OT era, but I think this will hearken well for new aspects and new facets of Star Wars storytelling that, you know, for lack of a better term, could be almost like a new expanded universe.
Right.
So, but we will see. That's pretty much, you know, what I've got for news wise. You know, other than that, the, you know, the demand, it looks like the demand for Marvel's The High Republic could spill over to demand for IDW's The High Republic Adventures. I know a lot of comic shops that I've spoken with across the country have said that, you know, since High Republic number one came out, there has been a surge in interest in the IDW book that's being written by Daniel Jose Older and, of course, illustrated by Harvey Toulibau. So if you haven't secured a copy from your local comic shop in advance, you know, make sure you do, because, you know, matter of fact, if you look at our Twitter feed or the Facebook feed, we had the cover by Yale Nathan. and it features Yoda. That's a retailer incentive cover, so it's definitely worth getting your, you know, making sure you're getting your copy, you know, as opposed to no, it's sold out. So, I mean, you know, and I was pleasantly surprised when I walked into my shop. You know, to, you know, I put a picture on the Twitter feed. You know, we're sold out. Inquire about a second printing, and they had like 5 copies of the various variant covers, and maybe, you know, at most 1 or 2 of each of those, and they ordered a lot, so it says something. It says something. So now, but guess what, Jeff?
What is that?
We have a new comic book this week.
We do.
It's not the High Republic at all.
It's not. It is an existing title. It's a Darth Vader #9.
Ooh, and it was so good.
It is so good. That's the first time I haven't really been annoyed by Ochi of Bestoon.
No, no, you said it wrong. It's Ochi of Bestoon.
We can't say it like that. The show will be 12 hours long.
Pop. Ah, yes. No, good issue. Solid. And it sets it up for the next issue, which I think is going to be even more intriguing because, spoilers, this is our, you know, Greg Pak, the writer, had mentioned that this arc was going to be touching on some events, in, you know, with the sequel trilogy. And he wasn't lying. You know, obviously we have Ochi of Bestoon, but if you will recall last issue, he, you know, the Darth Vader encountered the Eye of Webbish Bog and got the Sith Holocron. The Sith Wayfinder, you know, which of course we know from having seen The Rise of Skywalker leads to Exegol. So shall we dive in?
Let's.
All right.
This is part 4. Of the Assassin Returns called Into the Fire.
Yeah, well, this is Into the Fire, and it's part 4 of the Assassin Returns. So, I get
backwards. Yeah.
That's okay. You know, I know you have difficulty reading. As a matter of fact, Jedi Geek Girl says I should start introducing myself on the podcast as Jeff's personal Cliff's Notes.
Oh, okay.
So, I'll see about maybe doing that next time. Written by Greg Pak. Art by Rafael Ayenko. Colors by Niraj Menon. Letters are by Virtual Calligraphy's Joe. Wait for it. Caramagna! Main covers by Aaron Cooter and Richard Isovene. The Empire Strikes Back variant, of course, by Chris Sprouse, Carl Story, and Niraj Menon. And there was another variant by Rafael Ayenko as well, which is really awesome, which is what I will be picking up at my shop this week. Yay. Assistant editor by Tom is Tom Groneman. The editor, of course, is Mark Panizia. I can't talk tonight. This might not bode well for us. Thank you for stepping in.
It's a good thing it's not an audio medium.
Seriously, yeah. And of course, for Lucasfilm, senior editor Robert Simpson, creative director Michael Siglain. He's had a busy couple of weeks. Okay. Art director Troy Alders. Lucasfilm Story Group is repped by Pablo Hidalgo, Matt Martin, and Emily Shkokani. And your friend and mine from the Lucasfilm Art Department, Phil Shostak. Now, to bring us up to speed, Vader has survived his encounter with the Eye of Webbish Bog. And as we closed issue 8, Ochi of Bestoon was back with a contingent of droid mercenaries, and they began to attack Vader, who, of course, does not have his lightsaber and is comprised of old droid parts. I mean, we're talking like 30 or 40 year old droid parts, you know, for his legs and his left arm. His left arm. Yeah, got to make sure.
Well, so. And at the end of the last issue, he had that great, you know, Schwarzenegger-esque line at the end. He says, good, I need parts. As Ochi and his gang of droids had descended upon him,
almost made me spit out my coffee. So, and of course the droids are having, you know, they're not playing nice with Vader, and we find out that these are the droid crush pirates of Bestoon. And these droids have a great attitude because they're a little irked with Ochi because, you know, they're like, look, we're doing all the work. Ochi just brought us in here. And it's interesting to see the droids operate like this, you know, because they've got that personality matrix and they clearly have spent a long time working as a team. And, you know, so they're trying to track Vader, who's proving rather elusive. You know, and we've got, you know, like one droid is, you know, do you see him? Nah, Captain. Thermal scanners are shot. The whole planet reads red.
Right. This is not the place for the Predator to be using his thermal imagery.
Yeah. And it's funny because like one droid is like, you promised us prime pickings, Ochi. This better be. And then, of course, he immediately gets a, you know, a metal stake stuck through the side
straight
of his head.
His head.
You know, all right, well, he's out.
And so they just start shooting.
They do. And let's take a step back here. The coloring work on Mustafar by Neeraj is really impressive here. But I'm not surprised because Neeraj has nailed this color palette, I think. But what I'm really loving throughout this issue is Joe Caramagna's lettering.
Yes. And another thing that I really like is each of the droids. We've got one that looks like kind of like a bug. The one who got his head staked through looks like Abe Sapien from Hellboy.
Oh yeah.
And the other one looks like RoboCop to me. And I just wonder if that was, it looks like a cross between RoboCop and the Predator. And I have to wonder if that was something that was, done on purpose because they're each sort of, reminiscent of things we've seen in other areas. I just think it's really cool. But yet they all look very unique.
That's
not
do.
Droid we've seen at all. So yeah, the whole creative team is just really working, firing on all cylinders here.
And it's really interesting because, you know, these droids, they're getting picked off one by one by Vader, as one would expect. But even, you know, it's just, you know, their attitude, I think, is really intriguing because, they see Vader, he takes one out, you know, basically cuts its head in half. And then it's, you know, like, there he is. This is carked. No, this is good. What? I get it now. Vader. And then they start, you know, this one droid is just laying it on thick with Vader here. Someone saw value in you. And this is where Raphael, I think it's really detailed, you know, because we see these flashbacks to Revenge of the Sith, where, you know, Palpatine, you know, sees Anakin lying on the shores of Mustafar. And we, of course, we get that reddish sepia tinge to denote that this is a flashback.
And I love this with the yellow in there, you know, for Mustafar and everything. And it looks almost like an almost different art style.
It does. But this is very clearly, you know, Raffaella. And
yes, it's still of a piece. But it's phenomenal.
And we see this, you know, because it's nicely interspersed between flashbacks of what's going on at the present, you know, with the droid, you know, and he's saying this to Vader, I think, to probably get under Vader's skin, what little skin he has left, you know, someone cared. And then, of course, you know, the next panel is Vader being literally tortured, by having the legs and the arms attached to him, you know, and the skin prepared for, you know, his fusion reactor and his respirator, and someone devoted every resource to ensuring that your weak flesh would endure. Then, of course, we get a picture of a rather sinister medical droid, but then, of course, Uncle Palpy there with the typical glare.
Even more
on
sinister face.
And then we cut to a panel of Vader listening to this, and it's almost all entirely black. And this is just, I mean, this one panel right here, this horizontal panel at the top of page 7, it's shockingly good.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
You know, but you can't hold out much longer. And then we see a shot of Vader in the back of the tank. Your flesh has failed. You know, you said you wanted our parts, but we're taking yours. And that's, you know, the droid strikes and gets Vader, cuts off a slice of his right leg. Vader punches him and runs. And
yeah, basically just gets a sample.
Yeah, but this is trash.
Yeah, they're realizing that they've been swindled. Because they go back to Ochi, they said, we came here for high tech, the Empire's greatest weapon. That's what he is. He was reconstructed by the Emperor himself. He survived the eye without the Force. And the guy says, this is just an obsolete pneumatic piston plate from a substandard model that's been deprecated for 30 years. Well, that's just one of the scrap parts that he's fixed himself with. The guy goes, I got close enough for a scan, and the rest of him looks like standard life support. Fusion, furnace, respirator, junk. I've already lost 4 droids in this garbage run, Ochi, and now you're going to pay.
And then all of a sudden, the hunter is saved by the hunted. And it's Vader, who prevents Ochi from, I guess, probably having a metal fist shoved through his skull. And he closes the door on this droid, and, you know, Vader pulls up Ochi, and Ochi's like, thanks. And in the background, the droid is, come on, you idiots. And then Vader just cold cocks him hard. Because, I mean, just that lettering by Caramon, you hear the squang.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
And then just the, fair enough. So, of course, this all works to Vader's favor because now he's got his lightsaber back. And Vader's not a happy camper, not in the least. And then we get, you know, again, we know immediately that these droids, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them left, and they have just made a tactical error that they will regret for the few more moments that their programming is valid.
Right. The good news is they won't have to regret it for long.
So we get, you know, basically, you know, on page, we're on page 13, and we get four wonderful panels that are, you know, all equal in size, but skewed because, you know, it's almost like they, you know, like they're jumbling off the page because the combat and the fighting is so intense.
He's just making quick work. We get 2 pages worth of this. Yeah.
It's great because it's, you know, it's in a, and this is our kinetic section of the issue here. You know, we get the bazam, bazam, scrack, zoom, scrack, you know, and you know what? Wing! The scrack, the kark. So we have a new swear word now. Kark.
Kark. Yes.
Kark.
So and then Ochi shows up. She's like, ah. And then one of the droids, the Abe Sapien droid, one of them says, There's gotta be something special in those parts. And the other one says, no, nothing more special than in my own.
And then Vader just comes in with the last word. Then perhaps it is time I put your parts to better use. And he ignites the saber, and we cut to it, and he has essentially used all the droid parts to not only tidy up himself, but fix his old fighter. And it's funny because Ochi is here, of course, he's still bound, and he's trying to talk his, you know, sweet talk Vader. Oh, that's looking good. You've got the touch all right. I mean, I don't know where you're going to fit that pod, he says, referring to the pod that's down there, you know, like, you know, that I'm assuming that's what they came down in, you know. But if it makes you happy, crack. Ugh. Vader smacks him across the head again. And that's where we, you know, we get our sequel trilogy content. You know, I took this from the eye. I know it leads to the Emperor's secrets. Tell me how it works. All right. You're keeping me alive to help you with a wayfinder. Good plan. The Emperor's favorite assassin would know a thing or two about the Emperor's secret arcana, wouldn't he? Well, let's see. Ah, there it is. Nav coordinates hidden in the glyphs. May I? And he walks over and he installs.
And
you know,
this whole sequence makes me really want to see this as like an animated feature.
Oh, the story gosh, arc. Yes.
Because it's just so weird and getting to see Vader do his thing, be able to be triumphant without using the Force for the first half of it.
I'm
out there right now. Just Marvel, whoever's listening, animate this.
If not Marvel, I'm sure somebody out there will probably do a motion comic version of it.
Yeah, motion comics, though, I feel like I'm watching a diorama with the motion comics.
Well, I know, in a sense you are.
So. Yeah. But anyway, back to the book. So he logs it in, and Vader, of course, goes to choke him. He says, what are you doing? He says, you're setting up a trap. You'll be the first. If you're setting up a trap, you'll be the first to die. He says, you can't just leave me here. Let me see the Wayfinder so you can invent new lies. No, just let me. And he lights the saber. All right, I get it. No tricks. I swear I'll show you everything. So he shows him how to work it. He says, I'll show you the way to Exegol.
And that's
and Vader looking at it. And the light coming off of Vader's eyes, those two red dots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exegol.
And you know, and I think, you know, the way it's done like that, I think it gives it almost like a dramatic pause to Exegol. Exegol. And of course, we know Exegol, having seen The Rise of Skywalker. But, you know, I think this is our first canon mention of it, if you will. So, and then, you know, Ochi finds himself, you know, sklang, trapped in the pod. And Vader marches off with the Wayfinder, attaches it, you know, to the Jedi Starfighter. And, you know, interesting little work here. I like how Greg wrote this because, you know, Vader, you see inside from outside of the Starfighter. And Vader's looking at the map, and then you see him lift off, and you know, there's Ochi stuck in the pod. What are you doing? I showed you the secret. Let me out. And then I swear to God, Vader is going in, picking up the pod and dropping it.
No. He's just picking it up. Because I thought the same thing. And what that is he's turning on some kind of magnet or something, and it's sucking it up. That Sklank is him sucking it up. That's because I thought the same thing. I was like, why would he pick it up and drop it? And I was like, oh, because the shadow is down below. That's where it was.
Ah, okay.
That's how I read it, at least. I think it could be read either way. He's probably just messing with him.
Well, I could see him doing that, but at the same time, yeah, that would seem a little bit out of character for him because he tends to be rather methodical and efficient.
Right, exactly. The efficient thing was, you know, he's not going to go out of his way to torture somebody.
And I feel bad because Vader flies off, but he's left the mouse droid. And the mouse droid.
I know. I feel bad for the little mouse droid, but you know, he's probably better off. He'll just be spare parts on that ship.
That's true. That's very true. And then of course, so
Vader finds a hyperdrive dock still in orbit.
Which is awesome, you know, nice 30 years or something. So, you know, nice little throwback, you know, to Revenge of the Sith. Yeah, and it's good. And it's good to know that it's never been disturbed. You'd think somebody would have stolen it. But, you know, at the same time, you think, you know, this is Mustafar. So people are probably staying away from it.
True. Very true. And Ochi reminds me, I can't help you if you kill me. So they clang into it. And he says, oh, no. So they start into hyperspace, and I love that we get to see Ochi just clanging all over the place in this escape pod. And he says, please don't do that again. I won't. Thank you. Silence. Nothing I do is for your benefit. Hyperdrive can't take us through this cloud. He goes, Vader, jump. He says, no, assassin. I will find the Emperor's secrets, no matter what stands in my way. And we see this. This has got to be some sort of Cthulhu-esque. What is this that we're looking at?
I have some ideas. Okay.
Okay.
First off, I do not think it is a Summa Verminoth, which is what we saw in Solo, a Star Wars Story.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. So that, no, I have no idea.
You know, and that only being because even though it has multiple tentacles, it does not have, at least that we can see, multiple eyes. So, you know, there is a possibility that perhaps it could be, but I don't think it is. We know it's not like that enormous crab thing that Vader dealt with in Age of Rebellion, Darth Vader number one.
Right.
When he was over in the Kankalo belt containment zone. So not definitely not a still sail either. So I'm thinking maybe it could be a space grazer. Which, you know, that was from Tales of the Jedi universe. It was mentioned in the complete Star Wars encyclopedia, but space grazers are really, really big. So my thinking, if it is a Summa Verminoth, it may be like a derivative of that species, or, you know, it could just be something entirely new.
I'm thinking of something entirely new, but it's straight out of Lovecraft.
It is awesome, though.
Man. It's awesome. And I'm assuming he's going to kill this in the next issue because it was not a problem for anybody else going to Exegol during The Rise of Skywalker.
Well, and, you know, and this thing wasn't there.
That's so. What I mean. Yeah. What's what I mean by it wasn't a problem for anybody. So I think the next one we're going to see, at least part of the book, is going to be an epic battle between Vader and whatever this thing is.
Oh, which, you know, is going to be pretty awesome, I think.
I mean, that's, and the cover for next issue is great. You know, I'm big on minimalist covers and things, and it's really cool. We'll talk about that next time. But
That Aaron Cooter cover is awesome.
And so. and this, what a great issue this one was, though, because we got lots of character with Vader. We got some really cool back and forth between him and these droids. Now, granted, the droids are gone now, so they introduced these really cool characters only to have them killed off almost immediately.
Yeah, but, you know, but that's the thing about droids is, you know, they might be backed up somewhere.
Right, exactly.
One never knows. But yeah, great, solid issue. Really enjoyed it a lot.
Really, I did too. You know, I've had some misgivings about this book so far. Things here and there, but this one really just was right in my wheelhouse. I loved it.
Well, I am glad to hear that.
So kudos to everyone involved. So what do we have next week?
We have just Dr. Aphra number 7.
Just Dr. Aphra number 7.
Which is more than enough, I think. And of course, this will be our, because remember, we get no Dr. Aphra in February. She'll, you know, the series will return in March.
All right.
But I'm looking forward to this one regardless. Because, you know, if you don't like Dr. Aphra, why do you hate comics?
Exactly. Precisely. So, all right. Well, that is, you know, short show this week, but that's because we just had the one book, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope everyone's staying safe out there. Until next week for Star Wars Splash Page, I'm Jeff.
And I am Matt.
May the Force be with you.
Always.
The Star Wars Splash Page theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
Stop peeing!